Let's conclude, I think, should be a conclusion of what we were teaching last time, that we were teaching on the way faith works in prayer. If you have your Bibles, quickly, last time I said we're going to read from the book of James, chapter 4, but we didn't get there before time ran out on us. It's not as if it was time's fault. It was our fault. The book of James, chapter 4, on verse 1. He said, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. And you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. They do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Now, please notice that. Let me just read verse 4. He said, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Please note the word adulteresses. That's a word that is used. It was talking about spiritual adultery there. It wasn't just talking about physical adultery. It was talking about spiritual adultery, that is, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? That is, anyone who is a friend of the world, being one that's supposed to be espoused to the Lord Jesus Christ alone, is an adulteress in relating with the world. He said, therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Let me just stop here, because you can read it down to verse 10 later, but there's a reason why I read this, so I think my point will be clear from up to that verse 4. Now, what I just want to bring out from here, remember we have been talking about how faith works in prayer, and I said there are three important points I want to make in that regard, even though here and there we've talked about some other things. Like last time I was speaking about not accepting some of the wrong diagnoses of the world, and therefore saying that you need deliverance when you actually don't, all right? That was not part of the main thing that we're talking about, but as the Holy Spirit inspires, one has to say some things that will be of help to the people of God. Now, the three main points I was making is that, number one, in everything, we must know that God is all that we need. We read that one from Psalm 73 and verse 25. Who do I have in heaven but you? And once I have God in heaven, I'm not concerned about who I have on earth or who I know on earth or who I don't know. My desire is never to reach out for human connections or human, effort, all right? Human power is not what I need. Now, we talked about that. And last time I now spoke about the fact that we must know exactly what we want. Two people went to the Lord Jesus, James and John. They said, grant that we may sit on your left and on your right in your kingdom. And Jesus said to them, straight, you don't know what you are talking about. You don't know what you are asking for. That is, I said that we must know what we are asking for if we expect God to be able to answer us. An example I like to give all the time is this issue of marriage. Very important. Let me just say this before I say that. Okay, that's one thing I want to say today anyway, so I'll still get back to it. But now that I said I'll say it, let me say it first, all right? It sounds very simple, but listen to this. God actually answers prayers. Did you hear what I said? It sounds very simple, but actually it's a matter of fact. God actually answers prayers. You know, the reason why it appears like he doesn't is because people don't know how to pray. That is why they came to Jesus and said, teach us how to pray. There is a how to everything. Are you getting my point? And now when I'm talking about how faith works in prayer, that's precisely what I'm trying to address again. God actually answers prayers, and he answers prayers all the time. The issue is that oftentimes we don't know how to pray. And that's why he said, guard your steps when you come to prayer. You know, I'm adapting Ecclesiastes chapter 5 now. He said, when you draw near the temple, all right? But I want to adapt it. Guard your steps when you come to prayer. First of all, you must come to learn how, all right? Otherwise, you'll just be punching around, all right, aimlessly and not getting results. And the less the amount of results you get, the more you are discouraged when it comes to the matter of prayer. And the more you are discouraged, the less likely you are to get results. It becomes a positive feedback matter, all right, vicious cycle in which you eventually get discouraged. I gave an example the other day about a young man who needed a job, needed something good in his life, and he decided that the way by which he was going to do it was to invoke the power of the power of the tithe and the power of the offering. And he joined the two of them together and went to use it to demand a job from God. And God refused to answer him. He said that, right now I am discouraged. And I laughed when I read it. I said, because you see, what discouraged you was that you went on the wrong premise. They told you that if you want to get something from God, you must first give to him and then hold, you know, tie a rope to that thing you give to him. Hold it tight and come there and say, Lord, did you eat that ram? The Lord said, yes. He said, I was the one that sent it. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. Now, so he was discouraged. And that's what happens. When we don't have the proper, all right, understanding of it, it appears like God does not answer prayers, but he actually does. Why would I go into that again? A lot of times, people don't know what they are asking for. So even though God answered or God wants to answer, there is a disparity, all right? There's a discordance between what they are saying and what God wants to give them back. Even if God were to answer what they are saying, you understand? It won't appear like that. Do you get what I'm saying? It won't appear. So there's just a problem. And a lot of times God actually answers and they are unable to recognize the answer. You know the story of the nation of Israel. For a long time, they had their own concept of who the Messiah was supposed to be. All right? And people were praying. In fact, when they came to John, to Jesus, and said, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples to pray. Even though we quote that, but if you look at it properly in the context of which the things happened, actually what happened was that the disciples of John had a prayer they used to say. Are you getting my point? The disciples of the Pharisees had a prayer they used to say. And those prayers, to a large extent, had to do with the coming of the kingdom of God. Are you getting my point? They understood they had to pray for the coming of the Messiah. But when the Messiah came, what happened? They took him aside and crucified him. Why? Because he did not fit the image of what they thought the Messiah should be. So there was a scripture about the coming of this Messiah. All right, there were many scriptures. And they were making prayers. But their prayer was not really effective because they did not even know what they were praying for. All right? And when God finally answered the prayer of some people and he sent that Messiah, the large majority of them crucified the Messiah that they thought they were praying for. And that's the example, I was going to give an example that I give all the time in the area of marriage. Listen to this. If you correctly define your terminologies properly, all right? If you get the words right, you are closer to the answer to your prayer. My example is this. Somebody says, I told a friend of mine once, he was trying to describe the kind of thing he wanted in the relation and everything. I said, listen, what you have just described is called a wife. Just go and get married. Are you getting my point? And then for Christians, sometimes, now that guy was not a believer. Now, but for Christians, sometimes we ask God for what he's not planning to give any one of his children. God is not going to give you a husband that will take care of you. Forget that one. If you understood me, say amen.
Amen.
Are you sure? I wish that your amen is sincere. You can't go and meet God, please give me a husband that will take care of me. God said, listen, I'm the only one that takes care of people. I'm your God, that kind of husband, I'm the only one. And the Bible says God is a jealous God. You know what it means to be jealous? There are things he doesn't share. You understand? The way I've read that Psalm 121, commentaries on it, say, will I lift up my head to the hills, believing that that's where my help comes from? He said, no, my help comes from the Lord. Are you getting my point? So a lot of times we are trying to lift up our heads to husbands. Are you getting my point? We're trying to lift up our heads to one man. And then you're saying, God, bring it. And God says, lie, lie. I will never do that. Create an idol for you that will compete with me. No. You say, Pastor Man, God, should you pray? But I'm not going to discuss that one now. Go and listen to my message, How to Find True Love. All right? In fact, it's currently one of the recommended messages on our homepage, on the website. Is that okay? God says, I'm not giving that to anybody. So just forget it. In the same manner, a man is feeling very, maybe whatever his problem, I don't know, feeling lonely, feels like he needs comfort and all of that. So he starts praying for a wife. God said, the Holy Spirit is your comforter. I am not going to give you a woman to come and take the place of the Holy Spirit in your life. So just forget that one. It's very important, though. People don't realize some of these things. You go and making prayer points every day, and God said, me? I'm not going to answer that. You're asking me to replace myself in your life. Why should I do that? I was one that commanded that you must have no other God beside me. They will not give you another one. Myself? No, my name is not Aaron. You are getting what I'm going to explain there. It's very crucial that we understand this, all right? It's a problem mostly amongst the sisters, amongst the women. And it's a lot of times we are praying about husband. We are praying for a replacement for God. And God will never, ever, ever answer that prayer. So they came to Jesus, grant I will sit on your left and on your right. They thought that they were going to be big bosses. Afterwards, we are going to be powerful people in the ministry. Are you getting my point? They want the ministry is established in the kingdom. James, you are going to control this side. And John, you control this other side. I said, no, this is not a controlling place. Are you getting me? At least they did not understand what they were praying for. It is so important as Christians, we understand really what we're asking for. I remember, you know, I told you once, somebody came up to me and said that I should pray with him. I said, what is it? He said that so that God will open the door for him to go for a foreign trial. I said, what's foreign trial? Like, are you a criminal? No. That is a footballer. He wants to go to meet foreign clubs so that they may try. And he'll play for them. I said to him, have you been to Enyimba? Have they tried you in Enyimba? No. Aqua United? No. I mentioned a few Nigerian clubs I could think of. Have you gone for trials, any one of these ones? He said no. So I should open my mouth now and pray for... What do you think I am? I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. What is it that you are looking for money? If you want to pray for money, go and pray for money. There's nothing wrong with praying for money. If it's football you want to play, there are enough opportunities in Nigeria to play football. But he had mixed it up. I should join hands with him and pray that God will open doors for foreign trials. Local trials, you have not yet done it. You don't know there's a principle in the scripture. You will be my witnesses first in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of Europe. You have not played in Enugu. Let's face it. The clubs here don't even know you. They are not looking for you, and you want a French club to be looking for your black face. You are getting on the next thing. And I should be the one to pray that kind of prayer. It's not as if God can't do it, but he doesn't do such things often. Because it's an order. Now, what should they have prayed about? Look, if you really feel called to be a footballer, whatever, let's not even use the word calling. If you really want to be a footballer, all right, then you should be playing football, not praying about playing football. I don't know whether I hear what I said. You should be playing football. I said to preachers all the time also, you feel like you should preach, stop praying for God. Open doors for me to preach. Start preaching first. It is while you are preaching that you cannot start praying for God to open doors. You are sitting in your house, picking your teeth and praying for open doors. And where should I preach? It's very simple. Go to one secondary school near your house. Start a fellowship there. They will come. So the young man, I said to him simply, listen, forget this prayer. I'm not going to pray with you for God to open doors. Let me pray for you that God will open doors in Nnamdi Azikiwe Stadium here first. When you have filled that door, then come back. We'll pray for bigger doors. Then eventually, you will get somewhere. Now, why are you asking for me to pray that God will open doors in Europe? Because you think Europe is God. So you are praying so that God will send you to that place. And God said, no, I don't do such things. In fact, his servant, Banky, said, I don't even pray such prayers. Another example I've given before, somebody comes and says, pray so that my brother will be saved. Is the salvation of his brother important? If it's important, say amen.
Amen.
Uh-huh. It's important. Should he pray for it?
Yes.
Yeah, but the guy actually was not praying for it. His brother has money and he's a good Christian, so the money is not flowing because his brother is an unbeliever. I don't know whether you get my point. So his own prayer point is, God, if this my brother can just be saved, I won't have any financial problems. And God tests the heart. He can see what you are praying about. He's a pastor that does not know. God knows. So the guy is fasting and praying until a hole drills in his stomach. God, he does not move. Why doesn't he move? He said, this guy is not praying for his brother. He's praying for money. Why didn't he just ask for money directly? And he will have needed to do only a quarter of this prayer he has prayed so far before I give him $1 million. I mean, if he works like that. So that's the point I was trying to make on know exactly what you want. Don't deceive yourself. Know precisely what you are praying about. I gave an example last time. People said that, okay, draw it on the wall. What kind of card do you want? Is it red? Is it purple? Is it yellow? Is it green? You know, I said, don't just bother. If you prayed to God for a green car and he gave you a blue one, will you accept? If your answer is yes, then don't bother asking for colors. Because the things that are most important in life, you can't draw them on the wall. Are you getting my point? See, draw the picture of the husband or the wife you want to marry. The height, the complexion, the everything. That one is a lie. Yes, I know people have testimonies, but those are exceptions. They are not the rules. Because the things that are most important cannot be drawn on the wall. Character cannot be drawn on the wall. Godliness cannot be drawn on the wall. Are you getting my point? The love for the word of God cannot be drawn on the wall. Patience cannot be drawn on the wall. Are you getting my point? Somebody that has a cool spirit, you know, the Bible says it like this. He said, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. That's New American Standard rendering. All right? Just wanted to just get that one clear since we're just talking about it. In the book of Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. Very important. Now, just dropping that one in as part of what we're talking about. The Bible says we must learn, if you read that Philippians chapter 1, I think, verses 9 and 10, it says we must learn to approve those things that are excellent. Now, what am I trying to explain here? You will see in this portion of the scriptures, when you read the Bible generally, the word mighty, now notice this, the word might is often interchangeably used with the word wealth, that is money, being wealthy. In fact, if you read that Deuteronomy chapter 8, when it said, it is the Lord thy God that giveth the power to get what? Wealth. The literal Hebrew is strength. It's the Lord thy God that giveth the power to get strength. That's the literal Hebrew. So when you read the scriptures, the word strength and the word wealth, they are often interchangeably used. What am I going to explain here? So you can also read this particular way. He that is slow to anger is better than the rich. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm explaining. Yes. That he that is slow to anger is better than the man that's wealthy. And he said he that rules his spirit, that can control his actions, it does not operate by emotion, is more important than the one that knows how to strategize in business and capture a big corporation. That's what he was saying. And the Bible says something is better. Literally, it is better. Now, the question I was saying is, how do you draw being slow to anger on the wall? Ability to rule the spirit. You can't draw it on the wall. Are you getting my point? So when people are telling us, you know, be very specific. You see, so I know some people have testimonies, but let's not fool ourselves. Some things are more important than others. So that's why I was saying that God answers prayers. Some of the prayers he does not answer is because the people are asking wrongly. A young woman is praying for a husband, or a young man is praying for a wife. Let's talk about the husband side. And she has put prayer points down that is saying clearly, God, I want this man to replace you in my life. I don't want to pray again before my needs are met. I want to have plenty of money flowing. Has never prayed that the man should be slow to anger. Has never prayed that the man should be one that can rule his spirit. And listen, you know, God loves people. I hope you understand that. And God loves you. If you believe, you say amen.
Amen.
You know, I have children. You know them. You know I love them. So if I can look him now and say, Daddy, please buy me a motorcycle so I can be riding to school. What do you think I'm going to say to him? Just think about it. A bicycle. Then a motorcycle. At the age of 10, I should buy you a bicycle, a motorcycle, so you can ride to school. What's wrong with mommy dropping you in school? What's wrong with daddy picking you up in the afternoon? What's wrong with the school bus? What's wrong with coming out of your school, standing at that bus stop, joining the bus that just drop you at the junction of the house and you walk down home? What's wrong with that? You want a motorcycle. Whether I can afford it or not is not even a matter to be discussed. The simple thing is that the answer is no. It's not good for you. I don't know what gives us the impression that God does not do that with us also. And we think what we need is to press him hard enough and he must release by force. If Akinlu insists on that his bicycle, you know eventually he will get it. When he's 18. We'll keep discussing the thing. He'll be growing old. He won't know. I said, remind me next year. The next year he comes back. Then remind me the following year. Eventually, he reaches the age in which, all this while, make sure you're riding your bicycle regularly. Get a crash helmet. Be riding your bicycle. When I've seen that, the way you can control your bicycle very well. And when you reach the appropriate age, then we'll get there. I don't know what gives us the impression God doesn't do that with us. He does. Many things we're asking for, he said, you can't handle that one yet. You just can't handle it. You cannot handle it. So just wait. The time will come when you'll be able to handle it. And you don't even have to remind me. I will do it at such a time. That's why I keep saying, just know exactly what you're asking for. Because if my son, talking about him now, the issue is, okay, I just want to be able to get to school easily and back easily. I said, no problem, we can solve that. There are many ways to solve it. And what is wrong with the way you are getting to school now? Is it difficult? After somebody is dropping you in school and somebody is picking you back home. For that reason, I say, you see, you don't have a problem. So we'll suspend discussion on transportation. Are you getting what I'm not explaining there? All right? No, that's God does that one with us. I'm going to emphasize the fact that He actually answers prayers. It's when we pray wrongly that it appears as if He doesn't. And if Akinlu was to tell me that, and which is what I'm talking about now, we're back to the main point, that the one I want to add today, so I pick up from there. And if you were to come and tell me that, well, all my friends are coming to school, that one has this bicycle. Yeah. That's what the Bible calls worldliness. It's called adulteress. That is, you have been an adulteress as a Christian if you are doing things on those premises. And I said, well, there are 3 points. Number one, know God is the only person you need, and you direct your prayer towards Him. And then number two, know exactly what you want. And number three, your motives must be pure. That's number three. Let's read that scripture we're reading again, reading earlier. Let's read it again. It said, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? I'm going to jump now because we've read it before. It said, you ask, and it said, you do not have, that's verse 2 now, towards the end, because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. There's something I want to bring out here. I want to add it. I'm going to distill something out of this, even though that was not what James said directly. But I'll distill it out of this. I was saying earlier, I'll get back to my third point. You know, I tend to move up and down once in a while. I'm moving up and down now. So let me try and explain to you where I'm somewhere now. I'm getting back to our third point in a moment, but I want to go back to the last thing I was saying. That God actually answers prayers. Now, let me say this one to you so that you take note of it. James said that what is the source of quarrels and conflicts? Why do you have war in your members? Why do you fight and quarrel? Now, you know what he was talking about. That's one person quarreling with another. All right? But I want you to understand something. I said I want to distill something out of it. You can also apply it this way. Why do you have struggles in your life? Why do you have to wake up so early in the morning and not return back till late and get very little results? Why do you have to take one exam again and again and you can't even get good grades in it? Why do you struggle so much? Are you getting my point? Now, I'm picking the words that James used. Why do you have quarrels and conflicts? Wars within your members? All right? Why do you fight and quarrel? Now, I'm applying that to one single individual. Are you getting my point? And looking at his own personal life. Why do you fight yourself over money? Why are you and your wife, now let's take a family, never in agreement on money matters? Why is there conflict, one individual again, in your business? Today, you hope to make this amount of money, but it doesn't come out like that. You hope to do this one, it doesn't come out like that. Why do you have all these struggles? James said it is simple because you never ask God about anything. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Please, that's the way I want to apply it. That is, all the problems you have in life is that you don't just simply settle down and pray about it. You see, I've had the experience, let's take this student one as an example. I just remember things that happened those days when I was in university. There were subjects that I didn't like. In fact, two of them I remember very well. I've given the testimony here and there, but it's just so appropriate to use it today again to explain what I'm talking about. When I was a third year medical student, I did not like biochemistry. It started from the days of organic chemistry in secondary school. I was a calculation person. You get my point. You know, I like to work things out, principles. You know, so physics was my friend. Mathematics was my friend. Biology was not my friend, really. When I did jump, I got my lowest score in biology. That was just the way it is. I just didn't like biology. I was only studying medicine, so I had to read it, all right? Now, organic chemistry also, you just had to know the structure. So it didn't used to stick in my head. I didn't have this calculation with it. Anyway, just to tell you the background. So that's how I went to school. I did not like it. My first year, I passed quite well. My organic chemistry courses, chemistry 103 and 106, they were okay, all right? 105, or anyway, first one was 103, second semester was 103, or 105 or 106. So I said, oh, well, praise God, I just managed to pass and I left, except that one day I went to visit one guy who was a year my senior, a medical student also, and I saw biochemistry textbooks, and I realized I had not escaped from biochemistry, from this organic chemistry. And of course, as a third year medical student, you did anatomy, physiology, and biochemistry. For one reason or the other, I loved anatomy. I loved it very well. I had no problem with it. Physiology had some structure and some order to it. I also like the principles you could learn. I liked it very much. But again, my old-time foe, biochemistry, was there. I didn't like it. The lectures were boring. I attended them anyway, but I'm not sure. I just didn't enjoy it. I hardly used to read it. An exam was coming. I had to pass it. Now, this is what I'm talking about. And one day, I told this, you remember the story, I told it here and there. One day, I settled down. That's where I'm getting to. And just prayed about it. The prayer was one day, not 2 days. That one day prayer, you know what, this is your fasting. I've told you. You are laughing. It doesn't work. Yeah, I was in my office the other day. Where was I? I was just making a joke that how Christians fast from evening till next day, and Muslims will first eat early and then say they are fasting. And I, how can you call that fast? So you know, the Christians were feeling righteous. Saying, hey, you know, the Muslim Christians where I was. And I added the last bit to it. Everybody looked at what? I said, God doesn't listen to any one of the two. Everybody said, what? It's a matter of fact. I'm making something here. When you think it's hunger that's the issue, that's what I'm trying to explain. You know, let me go hungry first. Go and listen to our series. We just concluded it, how fasting works, the role of fasting in prayer, or how it works, or something like that, all right? The role of fasting in prayer, that it is to turn aside. It is to focus so as to get instruction, all right? Very important. You cannot settle down, take time out. If you like, be hungry from now till thy kingdom come. You understand? It's not having any effect. That's a matter of fact. Back to my own story. That day, I remember I just sat down simply and I asked the Lord, please, you know my issue with biochemistry and I have to pass it. It was simple. That was all I did. There was no long story. Right now, I begin to call success to come. Success, come, come. It is good to excite yourself when you are in church to talk like that. When you are alone, it's not necessary. You know, I've been telling you these things. I don't lie when I say it. When things, forget all this speaking English because you watch too much TBN. Just relax. Say the way it is. He said, why do you have conflicts within your members, inside your soul? I'm adapting it now. It is because you don't speak to God simply about things. I left that place of prayer with one simple instruction. Stop saying, I don't know how I came about it, but that was what stuck in my head. Stop saying biochemistry is volatile. If you've listened to me talk about it before, as soon as I got to class, somebody tempted me to say it, I refused to say it. You understand? That was not the only time. I remember my final surgery. The same thing happened. Something very similar to that. Of course, that's how I passed by chemistry. I passed it neat. You understand? Passed it. I mean, you can go and... I've told the story so many times. I read 4 questions before walking into the exam, and I had to answer only 5. 4, they were fresh in my brain. God handled the matter. My finals in surgery, the same thing. school, there was a lot of conflict in the society, not in my soul, no, around that time, all right? And one day, Professor Williams just closed our school, everybody go home, the whole campus. But with medical students, the dean said, listen, your course is not stopping. So you had better find how you are going to manage yourself. Meanwhile, they kicked all of us out of the hostels. How do we handle it? I struggled to stay here. Finally, the distress was too much. I just packed and went home. I said, school is closed. I'm going home. We are home for weeks. When school was reopened, I returned back to campus. Remember what I said? There was no interruption in the posting. And this was my finals. I was in final year surgery. I had missed most of my posting. Even before that one, self, maybe they were doing an exam or something. The lecturers were not very attentive to us. They left us to senior registrars, all right, to teach. And those ones were supposed to teach us during the clinical postings. And I didn't like our senior registrar at that time. Me and my friend, you know why? We used to see him in female hostel a lot. So my friend and I decided I couldn't know anything. You can't spend that amount of time in female hostel and still have any stuff in your head. So we want to just get to one round. Who's teaching? Doctor, I won't mention his name. It's a big man now. He's in the institution. I said, who's teaching? Mention that. Him? This is how we used to do. Me and the guy. We do our head like this. You carry our back. Or stroke or what? What is he going to tell anybody? I think the guy should get away. Anyway, that, that's what they do until they close school. So we couldn't make amends. By the time we returned, exam was like this. I did my medicine posting very well. My surgery posting, I did very badly. Most of the time, I was not even there. So when we returned to school, exam was closed, really, really closed. So we had like maybe 2 weeks or 3 weeks to crash everything. You are there trying your best to learn what you could learn. Then one day, I still remember, exam was like, I think we had done the written work. Clinical work was now coming. Written work, I could have written at home. That was not a big deal. The clinical work, there's no way. You don't read it at home. You learn it, you know, in the hospital there, which I was not in for a long time. So I went to go and pray. Why do you have struggles and quarrels and troubles in your soul? Because you do not ask. So that night, I remember, I went to go and pray. I climbed to the top of one of the buildings there. I think it was in Hall 3. I just climbed. School was a bit quiet, all right? Mostly medical students around this time. So I just climbed up there and I began to bring up my surgery problem to the Lord. I said, Lord, you know the issue. Nobody said I'd be good boy, but I was not that bad. You understand my point? Part of it was because of school closure. You were there. You saw it. And the other time, self, I was not very, you know, I confessed the whole thing, told the Lord the way it was. But the summary of it, your son has to pass this exam. So I now prayed a simple prayer. I said, Lord, please. Because the way it is that I'm a lecturer now, so I understand. If you ask a student a very simple question and he doesn't get it, great is his punishment. If you ask him a very difficult question and he doesn't get it, his punishment is mild. So we had this concept amongst ourselves that hernia was a very simple condition and that medical students are not allowed to make any mistake when it comes to examination of hernias. So I pray to the Lord, therefore, since I do not know anything as things are right now, please don't let them give me a hernia to examine tomorrow. Very sensible question. A prayer point, right? Actually, the Lord just prompted me. Is it that you don't want hernias or you want to pass? I said, okay, actually, Lord, hernia or no hernia, Bobo just got to pass. Yeah, you getting my point? I just have to do well in that exam tomorrow. Okay, fine. So then we had reputation about good lecturers and bad lecturers, difficult ones, those who were tough and all of that. So there was one particular professor, Professor Ofuegbu, who believed he was very tough. So that he was a very, very difficult fellow. All right? That was the reputation. And he was a surgery professor, so he was going to be there examining tomorrow. So I asked the Lord again, saying, now that we've settled the hernia matter, please, I don't want any toxic human being, and I specifically mentioned the name, like Professor Ofuegbu, please, oh. I thank you for it. You have answered me. Then he prompted my spirit again. Is it Professor Ofuegbu that's your problem or you want to pass? Ah, I said, Lord, okay, you are very correct. Actually, Professor Ofuegbu or no Professor Ofuegbu, I just must pass this exam. Hear ye, my brethren, how the Lord solved it. Next day I went for exam. I got Professor Ofuegbu and I got a hernia. I say, God has a sense of humor. No, I got both Professor Ofuegbu. And the thing that I feared the most came up. The two of them. That is, as soon, in fact, the way it played out was very nice. Very, very interesting. What happened was that there was one professor from Calabar that was reputed to be a very nice and gentleman. In fact, the way he used to introduce himself, I can't remember his name now because he didn't examine me. But the gist was out among students. You know, we're quite a number of us. So, you know what's going on. And that man is very nice. So, as he was approaching my own bay, you know, where I had me and my patient, long case, I was waiting. I was happy. I said, Baba God, thank you. Oh, well, thank you very much. The way he would do it is he would come and say, I'm Professor So-and-so. I'm your friend from Calabar. I just came to ensure that you don't know. I'm not here to fail. You talk very nicely. That was it. So he was examining the guy next to me. I said, I was marking the time. I said, very soon it will be my turn. Okay, now. I was worshiping. I was waiting like, praise God. As he headed in my direction, somebody just stopped him and said, sir, it's time for tea break. I feel like, say, you know, was a resident. I feel like, say, chief, wait now, he can drink tea after. No, but I wasn't allowed to speak. In fact, the way it was, everybody was screened. You know, UBTH, they are wards, all right? The screens are very nice. You know, just put the curtain like this, you are screened. So you are kind of hearing, you know, You're not really looking. You're just hearing. I'm like, what? He comes. So I'm like, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I hereby cancel the tea. Tea, forget. The tea was not canceled. That's how I lost that man. So because it was tea break, all of them were on tea break. So I had to wait. Waited. Next thing I knew, my two guys just walked up. The professor that I feared the most, another doctor. Hi. I was like, Father God, one, you gave me a hernia. Because no, it was a case of a hernia. And now this professor that I did not want. But which yesterday I had confessed to God I didn't matter. And God just touched, so I can teach his word properly. So I can understand him properly. Do you get my point? He ensured that those two things were the things I got. A hernia and the professor that I thought was toxic. Let me make a long story short, all right? By the time we're through that day, in fact, what he did was he sat down. He allowed the other fellow to do most of the talking. So that guy was also very nice. Asked me questions, did like this. I made one mistake. He corrected it and said, no, next time don't do it like that. I thanked him very well. At the end of the day, so they just looked at each other like, okay, I think we're through with him. So the prof just said, no, let me ask him a simple question. I still know very well in my mind. I said, thou art ensnared by the words of thy mouth. You said it's a simple question. It shall be a simple question. I was thinking, you know, when you are in Word of Faith in university, you learn a lot of things. We don't learn, oh God. Some of these we learn seven and witchcraft. We learn everything, joy. We learn everything. No time to walk by faith, you know. Yes. The man said, then he now asked the question. So I was waiting like, oh God, this will not. Just ask the question. The moment he asked the question, I just knew the answer he wanted. But there were two other answers. But I knew the one he wanted. So I started from the ones he did not want and walked my way down to the one he wanted. I said, this could happen. He said, yes, that's not bad. Any other thing? I mentioned another one. He said, okay, that's also correct. And I gave him the last one. I said, oh, he could develop a hematoma. Ah, he's a good boy. I said, He said, in fact, I remember he said, that's my boy. You know,